Part number 17 of our series through the Gospel of Mark. And Lord willing, we're going to look at verses 21 through 34. And there's the kingdom parables is what we're looking at tonight. The kingdom parables. Mark chapter 4. And we'll go ahead and read the first five verses, and then we'll pray and get right into the study. And here the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 21, "And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed that you hear, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him it shall be taken, even that which he hath." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I'm praying now that you'll help me for just a little bit. God, I need some help tonight. My tongue's all twisted up. And God, I need you to preach for me and through me. And God, I'm praying that this message will do some good here tonight with whoever's listening here in our congregation, Lord, or wherever they may be tonight. God, I'm praying that the message will help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in last week's message, we covered the first 20 verses there concerning the parable of the sower. Now, if you remember in this, the disciples there after Jesus had told the parable to all the people, the disciples took him aside after everybody had left, and they was asking him what it meant. As if they didn't quite understand what he was trying to teach. And so Jesus kind of gave them a mild rebuke and was asking, "You mean to tell me you don't understand this? This is a simple parable. And so you need to be able to understand these so that you can understand even greater truths." And so he kind of, you know, explained to them here, they need to start opening up their spiritual ears and listening is what they need to do. And we're going to talk about that tonight, of how only a Christian has the spiritual ears. And so that's going to be a big difference here as we look through these parables of how they're understood or how they're not understood. You've got to have the kind of ears that can hear. And so after Jesus kind of did that, these verses that we just read tonight is a continuation of that same thought. And here in verse 21, we open with Jesus, he begins explaining to the disciples why he's revealing these great truths. You see, Jesus had great knowledge like no one else ever had or ever will have. I know the Bible says that Solomon was the wisest man, but that was an earthly man. Jesus is different. Jesus is the wisest human being to ever be on the face of this earth and ever will be. And he had this great knowledge that he came to give to others. And so with all this knowledge, he was responsible for it, to be able to teach people. And we know these are teaching we call them the kingdom parables, talking about how people will live when they're in God's kingdom is what he's referring to. And so that's going to be people that are saved. Well, it says in verse 21, he starts giving the example of a candle. And he said to them, "Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick?" Well, a candle, just as in Jesus' day, is the same as in our day. It's to light things up. That's why you buy a candle. Well, some people buy them for other things. They buy them so they'll smell good, the scented candles. I like to smell scented candle, but it gives me asthma. And the whole family gets sick if you light candles in the house. But some people use them for scents, and some people use them for light and this and that. But the candle is for light. Now, the word candle here is an object of illumination, so it could be more than just what we can think of in a wax candlestick. It could also be, an oil lamp, which they use a lot of that. They would use jars with oil with a wick down in it and light that and use that as a light. But regardless of what the candle was, it's a thing to illuminate with, a thing to put off light. And so Jesus says you don't bring a candle to put it under a bushel. The bushel here that he's speaking about, that's a measuring scoop. When they would measure out grain, they would put it in what they would call a bushel. And it would hold, I don't remember the exact amount it would hold, but it was a measuring device. And he's saying you wouldn't go and get a candle and light it and then put a bushel over the top of it. That makes absolutely no sense. You couldn't see any light that way. It would snuff the light out. And so you don't buy it and put it under a bushel or under a bed. Now, our bed, the ones that we stay in America, are usually off the ground a certain amount, 6 inches or higher. Now, over there, they would have had a kind of a pallet that they would put out. They'd roll it out and lay down. It's on the floor most of the time. or some straw or whatever they would make it out of, but it'd be down on the ground. And so what he's saying here, you wouldn't take your candle and stick it underneath your bed, would you? Well, no, that wouldn't do any good. You couldn't see anything. It would put the candle out or it would stay hidden. And so you want the candle up on where, as you say, you set it on a candlestick. That's what they're for. And you all know what a candlestick is. I don't know if we've got any around here. There's some somewhere. But you take it, and that's what it's for. You've got the stick, and you put the candle in it, and you walk around like this, holding it up. So that's what you do with a candle. Or you would have it in a stationary place, or even on a wall. There's a thing that hold candles. And so what he's trying to relate here is, in order to provide light, the light has to be able to be seen. Otherwise, it does no good. So verse 22, he says, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad." So essentially what Jesus is saying here is, if you have this great knowledge about something, then you, particularly the Word of God, then you are responsible for sharing that knowledge with other people. You should not keep that hid from anybody. It's going to come out. It needs to come out. That's what it's for. That's what the gospel's for. And so you should tell others and let them in on this knowledge that you have. It's the right thing to do. You wouldn't keep that knowledge hidden from people. You know, there's some people, I've worked with people like this. They'll have some little bit of knowledge about something in the company, but they'll keep it to themselves. They don't want anybody else to know about it. They want to feel like they're a little something special. They've got something nobody else knows about. So they'll keep it hidden. And then so other people are confused, they never find out about it, or, you know, they've had to work real hard to try to figure out what this person knows, and they've kept it all locked up in here, not sharing it. Well, see, I'm the opposite of that. When I learn something at work, I share it with the whole company. And I make a tech bulletin, and I send it out by email, and everybody knows this thing that I learned. I think that's the way you ought to do. I think if you learn how to do something, you ought to share it with other people and let them in on it. Well, that's the same as the gospel. You don't keep that hid. If the glorious light's been revealed to you and you've got the light of Jesus inside of you, don't keep it hidden. Let the world know about it. You know, I don't believe in secret Christians. Not at all. I don't believe in that. I believe that if you're a Christian, then the Lord expects you to come out and share with the world. You ought to be excited and proud. I hate to use the word proud, but you ought to be proud that you are a Christian. You're proud of your Savior. Let people know about it. Well, Jesus, he would teach in these parables, and it was to reveal truth to the true believers. Now, remember in last week's message, the parable of the sower, which really is a parable of the soils, because there were three types of soils. There was a stony ground, there was a thorny ground, and there was the good ground. And you remember the good ground was the only one that ever took root and produced fruit. And so there was three types of soils. Well, the word did not take hold on those first two, the stony ground or the thorn, where the thorns were, is the thorny ground. It did not take root there. There was too many obstacles. There was things that was putting out what needed to be done. And so these people were not really true believers. The true believers was where the seed fell on the good ground, and it got down in there and took root and started growing and produced fruit. So not everybody's going to be able to understand the parables of Jesus or receive just these simple truths, because they don't have what's called in the Bible spiritual discernment. Now, when you were saved, and I know I mention this quite often, but when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and moves inside of you. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and He comes to indwell within you, and He guides you. Well, along with that guidance is what we sometimes call illumination of the Scripture. That's why, as a Christian, you can sit and read the Bible. You may not fully understand everything, but as you read it and study on it, meditate and pray about it, the Holy Spirit will illuminate that Scripture. He will bring it to your mind. He will give you an understanding. And the more that you do this, the more you study, the more you in God's Word, the more that you understand. I want you to look over in 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 6, or I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 6. 1 Corinthians 2, starting with verse 6. And we'll read down through verse 16. This is talking about the spiritual discernment here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting with verse 6, the Bible says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. This is what we're talking about now. The Spirit that comes in and dwells in the believer. The Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Look at verse 14. This is the key. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So as you look through this, you come to the understanding that the Lord, he gives the believer a special understanding, and it's done through the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit reveals to us these things that are hidden from the natural man, from the unsaved man, from the world. Man can come up with their own wisdom. They can understand that just fine because it's man things. It's flesh things. But when it comes to the things of God, and that's why they don't understand a lot of times the things that we do as a church or a church member, as a Christian. They don't understand the way we behave, the way that we think. Like I can go into my workplace where there's some Christians there, but there's a lot that are not. There are people that claim to be agnostic, some that claim to be atheists, some that claim to be this and that. And they don't understand my way of thinking because they don't have spiritual discernment. They understand the world's way. And you can see the world's way through the liberal mentality that's going on today in our world. All this world, this liberal push that's going on right now, you see it in the news every day. That's the world's way of thinking. You see, God's way of thinking is different. It's spiritual. And we are able to understand it because we have spiritual discernment. The lost man does not have that. That's what the Bible says. It says he cannot know them because these things have to be spiritually discerned. And he can't do it. And so the key is not everybody's going to understand the parables of Jesus. They're not going to understand everything because they're not spiritually discerned. And that's why he says in our next verse in Mark 4 and 23, he said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. You see, not everybody has ears that can hear. It'll fall on deaf ears. It'll fall on unspiritual ears, ungodly ears. So they're deaf to the truth. And I'm thankful that true believers have had an ear operation. You know, we've all had our ears operated on. The Holy Spirit, when he came in and dwelled in us, he didn't only just come and live with inside of us, but he did a little something to our ears. He gave us a spiritual ear so that we're able to hear. That's why Jesus says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. We have those ears. If you're saved tonight, you have those ears. So listen up and take heed what God's got to say. And that's how he works. And listen, the more that we listen, look at the next verse, verse 24. He said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you met, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall be more given. And so Jesus is instructing them to listen carefully to what they hear, because they're responsible for it. And the more we listen, according to the Bible, the more we listen, the more we hear, the more we absorb, the more we take in, the more he gives out to us. Do you notice that? And so the more that we study God's Word, we pray about it, we meditate on it, we listen, we take heed to it, we believe it, we practice it, then he starts dishing more out to us. He meets more out to us. And so it just keeps getting better and better. You know, I didn't understand near the things of God's Word when I first got saved. I didn't understand some of the things I understand now. And there's still things in here I don't understand that I'm praying one day I'll get big enough or grown up enough or mature enough to be able to understand it all. But I believe there's some things here we won't until we see heaven. I think then maybe we'll be able to. We will be able to when we're in heaven. But right now there's still some things that are sometimes out of our grasp. But listen, the more we're in it, the more we hear, the more we listen, the more we take it in, the more we practice it, the more God gives to us. And you, if you've ever done this, if you've studied and stuck with it, then you know that's the truth. The more you study, the more it comes to you, and the more you start understanding, and that's how God works. But look at verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now that verse right there is a little troubling, I'd have to say. This seems to indicate that if you neglect learning God's word, if you don't take heed to it, if you don't listen, then what you do absorb, what you do take in, is going to be taken away from you. Now, the thing is, these folks here are probably not true disciples, the ones that it gets taken from. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. These only seem to have the knowledge of the truth. Look over in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Luke, talking about this same thing here, he gives us a little more insight to this, in this verse, Luke 8 and 18. I think it kind of gives me a little better understanding of it. He says here in Luke 8 and 18, take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seemeth to have. Do you see that? What he seemeth to have. So he don't really have it, he just seems to have it. The Bible says there'll be many, you know this to be the truth. Over in Matthew 7 and 21 through 23, Jesus says there's going to be many that's going to come to him on that day, thinking they're true believers, but they are not. Matthew 7 and 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So the signs of a true believer will be that a true believer will take in God's word, will hear it, will heed it, will practice it, and will share it. You're going to find that in a true believer. Those marks of a true believer is that we will grow in the knowledge of God. As we continue through it, we'll grow in it, in his knowledge, and he'll continue revealing more and more to us as we go on. And look at verse 26 now in our text there, Mark chapter 4. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Now again, another parable from the Lord here, and he's given another farming reference. The Lord used farming a lot of times in his parables, because that's who he was dealing with. He's dealing with a lot of farmers. There were a lot of people there that worked in wheat, and they worked in the grapes and the things like that. And so there was a lot of farmers there, and they understood when he would relate things that they understood. And so this is dealing also with someone sowing seed. However, this one that's sowing seed is not the Lord. In the last parable, it was the Lord sowing the seed. He said it was the Son of Man sowing the seed. This time, it's not the Son of Man, but it's somebody else sowing the seed. These sowers could be preachers, pastors, evangelists, missionaries, or you. Anybody that's a Christian, anybody that sows the seed of the gospel can be considered this sower right here. And so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. So we as Christians, as we're sharing the gospel with the world, we're sowing seed into the ground. Now, this time he's indicating how tiny and insignificant the seed seems to be. Nearly invisible when it's planted. However, as time goes by and it gets the proper sunlight and the nutrients and the water and the soil and all these things, then it starts growing. But you can't actually see the growing process. Have you ever tried to watch a plant grow? I've seen them do it online. They'll take a video camera and put it on where a plant is and watch it come up, and they'll have it, fast motion so you can see the thing growing. Well, with the naked eye, you cannot see something grow. Now, you can go out there and plant, like you can plant a tomato seed, and Daddy used to put them in egg cartons. He'd start them in the house. He'd get an egg carton, he'd put soil in there, and he'd put tomato seeds in it, and he had this, what he's called a grow light, and he would stick those things under the grow light, and you'd wake up one day, and there'd be a little tomato plant started right there, and he'd wait till those things got about yay high, and when the weather got right, and he would go out, and he would plant them in the garden, and then they would grow and get great big. But you can't physically watch that thing grow. You just know one day you come and there's a little thing shot up. Next day you go there and it's this sistol. Next day it's sistol. And then before you know it, look, it's got tomatoes on it. But you can't see it happening. But that's what Jesus is referring to here. It bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately put it the sickle because the harvest has come. And so it says that he would sleep and rise up night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. I can't explain to you how it works either. I can't explain to you how the gospel works, except that the Lord does it. We're not responsible for making it grow. We're responsible for sowing the seed. And then he is the one that gives the increase. He's the one that actually makes it start growing. And so our job is to be the sower of the seed. And you may not ever see it working at first, or you may not understand how it's taking place, but God will use that effort that you've done, whether it's something as simple as a Bible tract that you give to somebody, and you may think, well, that was probably worthless. They probably won't even read that or whatever. You don't know. They may go to their car and get that thing and start going through it, and the Holy Spirit start convicting their heart from it. You may not be able to see that, but the Lord will cause it to grow. And so he'll start producing. You'll see the end results. Somebody coming to Christ. Maybe somebody call and say, hey, you gave me a Bible tract, and I want you to know that I got saved. Or, you know, call the church or email the church. We got our address on there and say, hey, I got saved because I read this Bible tract. And so we can't see it happening, but we can see the results. Look at verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Now this parable of the mustard seed is very similar to the one we just looked at. And Jesus takes a visual that everybody was aware of, the tiniest of seeds. It's just a grain of a mustard seed. And you know how small those are. I'm sure everybody's seen those. I brought them before one time when I taught on that. But Jesus gives them this visual here. And he puts a great spiritual truth in it. And so all their minds are going to that. Yeah, just a little bitty mustard seeds. Barely nothing. I mean, just you could do like that and just blow off into the wind. It's barely invisible. But Jesus says, and he says it's the less than all the seeds that be in the earth. However, the tiny seeds grow. Into one of the largest plants. Jesus says, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. You see, a mustard seed, when it's grown, just like everything else in the right conditions, the right soil, everything hits it just right, then it'll grow to the size of a large tree. And Matthew tells us that over in Matthew 13 and 31 through 32. He says this, and another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. And he says here, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. And so, listen, the lesson here is that the gospel started out as something very small. In fact, when Jesus was there, it started out with him and 12 other men. It was that small. And then we saw how it grew, and it grew, and it grew, and the gospel began spreading, and then Christianity, you know, I mean, it was just growing by leaps and bounds. I saw the latest statistics from the Pew Research place, the Pew Research. They do the statistics on churches. The last one they had in 2017, they say there are over 2.4 billion Christians in this world. That's something, isn't it? I mean, it started out as Jesus and 12 men. And look what happened. Look what it is now. Well, of course, this parable also teaches that we as individual Christians, as individuals, we also can take something very small and turn it into something very great when God's behind it. And so take our little church right here with just a few people in the congregation. And it seems like we're very small and insignificant, you know, not good for much. But just if we just put forth one little bit of effort to plant that seed, to sow that seed, to share the gospel with somebody, whatever it is, whatever effort we can make, God can use that and he can make something great out of it. We may seem like a little bitty mustard seed. There went Highland Baptist Church. But boy, when we hit and we started doing what we're supposed to do, we see God start giving the increase there. And so, you know, we may never see 300 or 400 people in this building ever again, but there's no telling what God can do with our efforts outside of these walls. And by the way, that is the commission of the church, is not to stay inside the walls, it's to go outside of them. Well, over in our verse 33, our next verse is there. It says, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." And so Jesus, the God-man, continues teaching in these parables, and he does it for certain reasons. He's teaching great truths, and those that had ears to hear, they heard it. And if they would listen, if they would take heed, take that in, and absorb it, and live it, then he will increase their knowledge and understanding, and they'll be his disciples. They follow him. He says, "If you follow me, you'll be my disciple." And so he continues teaching this same way with these everyday common objects and lessons that they would understand if they would only listen. Now, one thing that Mark does not tell us, but it is mentioned over in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, he gives us a little more information of why Jesus taught in parables. Matthew 13, 34 through 35. It says here, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them." And look what he says in verse 35. "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." And so not only was Jesus teaching in these parables, to be able to get people's attention and to give them an understanding, but he also was fulfilling Scripture. That's what the Scripture says. And so that was in Matthew 13, 34 through 35. And the prophet that it's referring to there is Asaph. Now, over in the Psalm 78, 1 through 4, we're told this. This is where it comes from. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength, and his wonderful works that he has done." And so Jesus was fulfilling the scripture of the prophet. It said he was fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. Asaph, while we always think of him as being the chief musician or the chief singer, remember, he worked under David when David was king. And in the temple, he and his sons were the singers in the temple. He was more than that. He was also a prophet. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 29:30, it says, "Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer." The seer. "And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads in worship." So another word for seer is prophet. And so Asaph was a prophet, and Matthew says that Jesus taught in parables to fulfill what the prophet said, and this is what he's talking about. And so there was many reasons Jesus spoke in parables. It wasn't just to for some people to understand and some people to not. While that was one of the reasons, it was to fulfill prophecy. All right, so we're going to stop there tonight, and we'll pick back up next week, Lord willing, on the last part of this chapter, as we look at Jesus calming the storm. That's always a really good one to look at.